There's a study that says the average man doesn't become 100% emotionally mature until the age of 43. 43. I mean, think about all the people, guys that you know who are 42 and under. Do you consider most of them to be emotionally mature? 8 out of 10 women think that men never emotionally mature all the way. I mean, so there's that. Tonight, I'll ask the question, when do men mature? And we'll see what all of you have to say on this week's episode of the Talk to Q Radio Show. No experts, just opinions. Buckle up. T2Q
Radio. Hey, what up, Q? What up, Radio World?
What's going on, people? I want to welcome all of you to another episode of the Talk to Q Radio Show. My name is Quincy, and this is my show. And I'm broadcasting live from the south side of the T2Q Man Cave. It is Tuesday, September 21st, 2021, and this is episode number 959. Follow me on all things social media at Talk to Q, and that's Talk, the number 2Q, just combine it all together. And while you're there, please hit share, like, subscribe or something. I mean, I can only grow if you share the show. Tonight, we're talking men and maturity. There is no set age for a man to reach maturity, even though people are like to think 18 or 21 is the benchmark. I got a newsflash for you. It's not. I was not prepared for real life at 21. I knew a lot, but it still wasn't enough. So what does being mature mean? It means that the way you behave is consistent with being an adult. You're capable of taking care of yourself and others. You're both self-aware and socially aware. You're able to express your emotions in a healthy way, exhibiting self-control and considering other people's feelings, despite how you may feel at the time. That's what being mature means. Did I describe any guys that you know under the age of 43? Or over the age of 43 for that matter? Let's go to the T2Q virtual phone lines to see who will be joining this discussion tonight. First, I'm going to start with a show legend who is called in. Let me get my show legend in first. From the 850 area code, the Emerald Coastline of Pensacola, Florida, making his way to the ring, the man in black, the Buckster. What's going on, Buck?
How's everybody doing this evening?
Doing well, man. How you doing today?
Doing fine. Just trying to make it home after a little bit of dinner.
All right. Glad to have you on.
Glad to be on.
And, okay, I'm going to welcome on this first-timer who hails from the, I think it's called the Silver State. I think that's what Nevada is. Let me welcome on the homie Slick. Slick, what's going on, man?
I'm doing all right.
All right. Glad to have you on. You might want to tilt your camera down just a little bit. We can only see you from the nose up. There you go. All right. Glad to have you on, man. And let's see. Oh, I have another show legend. From the 209 area code, the Golden State of California, please welcome on show legend Robin to the Talk to Q Radio Show. Hey, Robin, how are you?
Yo, I just love that intro cue.
Cool. You're doing
but
all right?
You know what? I'm having a problem hearing you.
Really? You can't hear me at all?
I can hear you, but it's really low.
Okay.
I'm going to bounce out and come back in, okay?
Sound like a plan.
Okay.
All right. And lastly, let me welcome on from what is New Jersey? New Jersey, what state is New Jersey? I don't know. She can tell me. But let me welcome on back to the show, Chrissy. Chrissy, I know what New Jersey
is. What's up?
But
it's the Garden State, baby.
Garden State. Yeah, I say it every show just about because Ray and Amanda are from New Jersey.
Yes, the Garden State.
Okay, okay. All right. Got it, got it. Glad to have you back. So good to see you. Okay, so we'll go ahead and kick things off and get this thing started. Let's start with how guys express themselves to women, okay? Or for some guys, it could be the lack of expression to women. There are a lot of guys out there who are decent dudes, but they're overlooked by some women because these guys don't do anything to stand out. I mean, you know, some dudes will hang around women that they like for years and never tell them that they're crushing on them. They come off as boring or lame, and they do things that ends up getting them put in the friend zone. So, Slick, let me start with you, man. You're new to the show. Slick, how important is it for a man to be able to express himself to a woman, you know, without fear of rejection?
I think it's very important, and he needs to do it in a timely manner, because what I see, because I'm younger, so I've seen it, you know, I get the benefit of the doubt of seeing it from my generation and up. And there's a big, like, disconnect and a problem, because I hear stories from my dad about you and him in the club and whatever, and y'all had no fear regardless. Like, y'all just, if y'all wanted a girl, y'all would get her. People my generation, they don't do that. They just sit there and wait, and then they'll be like, oh, I like this girl. Like, I literally was talking to somebody online 2 years ago. No, I mean, not 2 years ago, but he said he waited 2 years to ask this girl out. And then he sat there, and then she got somebody else, and now he's still crushing on her. And it's just like, get a chance to move on. He's still stuck on her. It's like, we have this, it's, a lot of guys have this thing where it has to be that girl. And it's weird to me, because it seems like if you're younger, shouldn't you be like, going after a lot of people, not just staying on one? That's just weird to me. Like, why are you sticking to one? Especially if she don't want you anymore, or if you don't even know if she even wanted you in the first place. I don't know. It's just a big issue, like, that I see. And they're just, and it's like a stop or go type of thing. They're neither big ass players, or they're like in the corner, shy and not saying anything. Okay. It's so crazy to look at. And I know that it should be different, or that it was different, just based on what everybody else tells me. But I don't know. I think it might be the lack of, in my opinion, it might be the lack of, like, dads in my generation. Because there's not a lot of them. A lot of them are left. A lot of them leave, or they're not good examples.
Yeah.
And because, you know, usually dads, they teach their sons about girls and how to go after them in a respectful way, not like a piece of garbage. But I think that's where I think it comes from. And a lot of these guys are being raised by single moms, and they don't really know how to treat a woman because they've never seen it or had an example of it. And nobody's bothering to teach them because nobody cares. Nobody, like, that's what it seems like. Nobody seems to care. You know, it's all about, you know, women's issues. I know they got their issues. Not trying to have a discussion like that. But I just think that when you're a guy and you sit there and expect things to happen for you, that you got another thing coming, because usually in life, things don't happen to you or for you. They happen to you. They don't happen for you. You got to make it happen.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they need to find the willpower within themselves to continue on. And if they get rejected, you know, they quit. It's like that's an inevitability. You got to keep pushing. I mean, if she says no, I mean, just laugh it off, because if you're a good guy, then she truly missed out.
Exactly. Let me get a woman's opinion on this. And Chrissy, I'll go to you. I mean, what about guys who won't speak up and express themselves to women?
So I think a lot of that has to do with self-confidence, right? Either they've been rejected before in the past and they don't want to get rejected again. You know, their confidence level, they just feel like they're not, you know, up to par, or I could never have that woman, or I could, you know. And the funniest thing about it is that women really usually just want a man to come say hello. Like, that's it. Hello, my name is so-and-so. What's going on? How you doing? That's it. And it doesn't have to be, you know, anything extra or more than that. I do agree with Slick in a sense that, you know, there isn't a lot of male presence in a lot of, unfortunately, our youth's lives. And I think that also goes back to the subject that we're going to hit later, which is, you know, when do men mature? I think it all kind of comes from, you know, the standpoint that we do have single moms raising these boys. They see that their moms are strong and I don't want to say aggressive. I always say assertive because I hate the word aggressive. Mm-hmm. So I think they kind of look to their mom and is like, well, I don't want no chick telling me some crazy stuff that I hear my mom telling these other dudes. Like, you know, so I think a lot of it really comes down to what they see around them, what they've experienced, and just that confidence that they don't have in themselves. But I'm saying, go get it. Like, I ain't never care. Like, if I saw a dude in the club and I was like, excuse me, you right there. Yeah, come here. Let me buy you a drink. But go ahead.
Trouble. Nothing but trouble. But Robin, what about, is it a sign of maturity as far as a guy knowing how to talk to a woman at all? I mean, is there a particular way to do it?
It's definitely a sign of maturity. I remember my ex-husband, when he first tried to talk to me, he sent his friend over to talk to me. I was like, okay, this is lame. Ooh. Because if you can't talk to me, I should have known from then, right? But
should have betted the friend.
But, you know, that was college. So, okay, I'm going to give him a pass in college. But now at the ripe old age of 50, yeah, you need to have a little bit more self-esteem and confidence in yourself, because the swag is what attracts me in the first place. If you don't have that, I'm not there. Okay. I can't do it.
All right. Well, Buck, let's talk about guys who are in relationships. Our significant other may do something we don't like, or wear something we don't think is right. Isn't it just as important to be able to express yourself to your significant other without fear? I mean, isn't that a sign of maturity as well?
I totally agree with that. You got to be able to express yourself in all facets. And sometimes people don't do that and don't know why. I mean, if you got a spouse at home or significant other, you need to be able to express yourself. Likes, dislikes, you know, everything. I mean, that's what, you know, you're supposed to be able to share your life with that particular person. So with that in mind, you should be able to express yourself about anything and everything that y'all are about. So, you know, don't wimp out and not do it. I mean, y'all supposed to be, you know, if you married that particular person, you know, it was sickness and then health, rich or poor, you know, until death do you part type stuff. So if you're doing all of that, you better be able to express yourself. Because if you don't, you're going to get walked on.
You got that right. And Slick, so let's talk about self-restraint. We see a lot of guys who lose it during times that they should be keeping their cool. You know, I've always been of the mindset that if a woman drives you crazy to the point that you have to put your hands on her, that you feel like you need to put your hands on her, then you need to leave that situation immediately and permanently. So in your opinion, Slick, isn't self-restraint one of the components of maturity?
I completely agree with you. You should remove yourself from the situation if you ever need to put your hands on a woman. Regardless of what you think about domestic abuse, man versus woman, woman versus woman, woman on man, whatever, it's your partner, regardless. You shouldn't have to feel the need to put your hands on them. And if y'all expressing yourselves to each other, communicating like, you know, like adults ain't working, you need to leave immediately. Like, I actually know someone who was in an abusive relationship, and he stuck it out for years, and he almost hit her a few times, but he didn't. And that relationship went on for too long, and it affected him in his daily life for a long time until he finally got it together. Like, it's just weird to me. Like, abusive relationships, they're like parasites. in a way. Like, it's like, you think there's nothing wrong, and then eventually you're like, okay. then you realize, okay, maybe there's something wrong. Or then you go to the doctor, you get checked out, you know, your friends, and then they finally tell you, hey, you know, maybe you should leave this person. And then you're like, oh, no, it's good. I don't know. It's that stigma. Like, some people, they won't put up with that crap. And they're just like, all right, you need to get lost immediately. And that's the type of mentality you got to have. Like, and it, again, is that as a guy, men are usually stronger on average than women. So if you feel like you need to hit this woman, seriously leave, because there's no telling, even if it was self-defense, who are the police going to believe? They're not going to believe you.
Yeah.
Like, if you, like, I know I'm a decent sized guy. If a woman put her hands on me, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that I don't hit back, because I know that if I do hit back, I'm going to cause some serious damage. So that's what some of these guys are. Oh man, if a girl hit me, I'd knock her head off. It's like, no, you can't. No, you don't do that. You got to hold yourself back, especially if you're a big dude and she's a small lady. But yeah, definitely the best like cure for that scenario, remove yourself from it.
Completely. Absolutely. And restraint is a part of it. It's just a very important part of it. But Chrissy, let me get your opinion on this. There are times if a man is challenged by another man, he may have to lay hands on someone. I mean, is it still a mature thing to have to fight? I mean, is it one of those like man code things, like you got to do what you got to do? Or should you always just walk away?
See, I come from, you know, I was born and raised in the Bronx. I am of Hispanic descent, and I have a lot of men in my family that have that machismo attitude, right? So they feel like if they get disrespected in any way, called out in any way, that they need to show their strength by retaliating or having that physical altercation or anything like that. I am completely against that. I've always told my husband that I will respect him more and think of him more as a man if he can have that self-restraint and control to walk away. Now, don't get me wrong. If a dude swings on him, if somebody else is hitting on him, then I do expect him to defend himself, self-defense, you know, like that's what I expect. But if it's just, you know, gossip talk, whatever, cursing, yelling, whatever, like, just keep it moving. I have more respect for a man who can control himself in a situation and walk away versus using any type of violence. I don't think that makes you a man at all.
All right. Robin, what do you think? Do you agree?
You know, I do agree. I'm like her. I'm from Detroit. And so, you know, they're from Detroit, they thugs. That's all I'm going to say. And they will protect you in case if you need to be protected. But it also is with maturity, right? You need to learn how to walk away. And these days, you can't even honk your horn at somebody, okay? Mm. You got to be careful. So I definitely agree. I think as you mature, you need to have those skills to be able to de-escalate a situation and to walk away from it, so for your safety.
Okay. And so, Buck, let me swing back to you, man. Let's talk about honesty. That is definitely a sign of maturity. And I mean, a lot of us guys fear being honest. We will lie to women because it's easier that way to have an opportunity with her in our minds if we lie to her, as opposed to being honest and possibly missing out. Isn't that a sign of maturity? That, you know, taking the honest route, or is it just avoiding conflict and hurt feelings by lying?
It really depends on your situation. But from, you know, from my vantage point, it's just not good to lie to them, because that could be one of their pet peeves. You know, just best to be honest and be upfront about it, because it's not going to get, you know, lie to a female, it's not going to get you any brownie points. It's just going to mess. It's going to mess it up if there's a relationship or marriage or what have you. You're just gonna mess it up in the long run. So it's just better just to be upfront about it. And you know, it's got to be an extreme circumstance. You don't lie about something. I mean, it's got to be very extreme, you know, to protect the family or something like that. But other than that, it's just best to be honest about the situation up front. And that way you avoid conflict that way.
Okay. Ladies, do you agree?
I got to jump in here. I got to jump in here. Hold on.
I'll wait till you finish.
Sorry, Robin.
No, go ahead, girl.
You always have to be honest. I don't care what the situation is. You always have to be honest. And there's two reasons why. If I find out you're lying, I will never trust you again. It's done. It's dead. It's a done deal. That's it. I'm out. Two, when you lie, you don't give the woman a choice. You take the choice away from her. And then at that point, you're steering the relationship. You're steering the situation that's going to best suit you. And if you're in a relationship, it's something that's going to suit the both of you. So I just had to go there. I'm sorry. You need to let the woman have her choice. And let me tell you, if I found out you were lying, that was the first and last time you ever lied to me.
Well, I love her accent. I swear. I love it.
Oh, somebody else likes her voice better than mine. That's good.
Buck, you know
I'm messing with you, Robin.
You know you're number one. But no, I was not to bring up a competitor, cue, but I was listening to Kev on stage, and he and his wife are in couples counseling. And he was on the road, told her a little white lie. And when they were in counseling, the lie came out and she found out that he lied. Mm. And so what the therapist said to him was, you know, you tried to avoid that situation, but now it's escalating into something even bigger than what you thought it was going to be. But it was really simple, too, but it really hurt. He could see how it hurt her feelings. Yeah. So it's just not worth it. Just be honest. Even if it hurts somebody, you can work through it. Because like Chrissy said, if I find out that you lied, I'm done.
Mm-mm. Okay. And Queen Cole chimed in from Texas. And she says, right, don't take my choice. So she agrees that she feels like she should have a choice in it. Another show legend is in the mix. From the 732 area code, the Garden State of New Jersey, please welcome on the show enforcer, the show legend, Ray. Ray, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, Q, Buck, ladies? Whoever else is on the line.
Behave, Ray.
What's up, man?
Hey, man.
Wow, they're coming at you already, Ray. Yeah, they just got on the show.
Hey, that's all right.
All right. So,
I don't know what we're talking about, but I'll find out in a minute.
Ray, let me ask you this, man. We're talking about, you know, maturity and when do men mature. And taking care of yourself is a sign of maturity, too. They got a lot of guys who don't like going to the doctor. How important is something as simple as going to the doctor for regular checkups a part of a man leveling up in maturity?
It's very important. I mean, as men, I don't think most men take time to check themselves out or go as often as they should and stuff like that. I mean, I had to learn the hard way, but it's the right thing to do, and it's the best thing to do, and it's the mature thing to do. As you grow and you get older, you feel like, you know, you're going to be young forever and, you know, a little this, a little that. You don't worry about this, don't worry about that. But, you know, it's best to get things looked at or checked out or whatever. That's not an easy thing. You just have to understand that the importance of it. You know, you can cover your body up with whatever clothes you want to buy or whatever else, but at the end of the day, nothing should be more important than you, and it's hard to understand that. But, you know, you need to understand that. If you're a guy or whatever, if you have to go to appointments or whatever you got to do, you need to do that. And it's not an easy thing because you think sometimes you believe you bulletproof or you going to just be all right. And a lot of times you need to go get that checked out. And I think if you a woman or whatever, you have to say, okay, you know, encourage them to go get themselves checked out and everything. Because it doesn't have to be regular health problems. It can be a disease you caught 2 years ago, you know, or anything like that. So you have to check everything out. So I think that's very mature.
All right. Well, Slick, let me ask you, man, as a guy in his early 20s, do you care about the doctor? Is it important to go to the doctor to you?
My dad, Buck, has always stressed health as far as literally everything, like working out, you know, making sure you take your vitamins. He's always telling me to take my vitamins, even now to this day as a grown man. He's telling me to take my vitamins, you know, take care of your teeth, take care of your, you know, just in general. And yeah, you should go to the doctor. Typically, I know I need to go to the doctor, especially with how physically laborious my job is. A coworker actually pointed out that I might have carpal tunnel syndrome in my left hand because it actually doesn't go as far back as my right. So, yeah, that's very mature because, yeah, what Ray said was true. Was like, you need to look out for you, but also what about your significant others? If you don't take care of yourself and something comes up where it's like terminal, now how are they going to feel? You could have prevented this, their feelings of, you know, of sadness and regret, by taking care of yourself. So it's kind of like you're helping you and helping other people at the same time. So it's not completely like self-centered as it sounds. It's actually pretty selfless. So yeah, I can agree with Ray said. And being raised by my dad, who's that probably damn near the healthiest people I know at 50 or 51. Yeah, for sure. Taking care of yourself is probably one of the most important things you can do as a person.
All right. Sounds good. I do believe the children are our future. All right, so let's talk about the workplace. A man is only as good as his work. If you don't care about your reputation when it comes to your work, then you don't really care about anything else, if you ask me. So, ladies, Robin, let me ask you, Robin, how important is a working man? I mean, not just one who, you know, has a job, but one who embraces what he does, whether it's a 9-to-5 job or he's cutting grass at home?
It's important. I think that it's important to be a contributor. It's actually to be a leader in a relationship if you're looking to further the relationship more than dating. That the man has to have a job. I remember a time in my marriage when my husband wasn't working because of being let go from a company, and at the time wasn't able to find employment. So I was getting up every day, going to work, taking the kids to school and coming home, cooking dinner. It wasn't working for me. And, you know, he was in a certain situation mindset, and I tried to, you know, be understanding, and that's what you're supposed to do. But at the same time, it's like, come on, buddy, let's go. We got to get it moving. We can't sit still. It's not going to knock on the door, right? So I think it's very important to have the mindset of wanting to work.
All right. Chrissy, what do you think as a lady's opinion about a man who works and actually embraces his work, takes pride in his work?
So I think, so, you know, I've had this situation where my husband wasn't working and I was providing as well and everything like that. But the one thing that I can say is that he did pull his weight around the house. The garbage was out. The grass was cut. The dishes were clean. Dinner was done.
Work.
So like at least that was still being taken care of, right? All I had to do was go to work, come home, shower, eat my dinner that he made, and go to bed. Like I was like, well, you don't never gotta go to work.
Bravo.
Like, you don't never gotta go to work. But then the other side of that, right? Like I was telling you behind the scenes is I'm building walls and putting up doorways and stuff in my home. I'm separating my home for my middle child to move in with his girlfriend and my soon to, you know, my grandbaby that's coming. And he didn't have a clue on how to use a table saw, a miter saw, a pocket hole jig, a drill bit, like none of that, like how to make measurements, how to cut in a 45 degree angle. And I'm like, yo, what we got going on here? Like, so at this point I'm giving him lessons, and I was actually, it's funny because I was talking to my daughter, and he's my second husband. I was talking to my daughter who's 28, and I said to her, yeah, I don't know why I keep getting these dudes who don't know how to build stuff. Like, I just don't understand what it is. They don't have a problem going out to work and coming back and taking care. But like when it comes to construction and building things and taking things down and fixing mechanical things, like when the lawnmower stops working, he's like, it stopped working. I'm like, did you check the oil? Did you make sure you have enough gas? Did you put it in reverse before? Like, you know, like all those troubleshooting things. So I think it is important for a man that whatever his job is, whether it's providing in the home or going to work and then financially providing for the home, for the home in that way financially, I think that he should take pride in it, respect it, and want to do it. If he's just doing it to just get it done so he's not called a deadbeat or, you know, anything like that, there's going to be some kind of rift and misery in the relationship. So I definitely think taking ownership of your responsibility is a mature thing.
Okay. And Ray, I'll let you speak on it right quick from a man's perspective as far as how important is a man taking pride in his work?
Oh, man, it's very important because your work represents you. And if you're a person you want to have do your job, you want to have come to work, you want to, you know, want to take off every chance you get. I mean, that's the problem with a lot of ladies. You ain't looking at that first. You know, you looking at how the Duke look and how you talk and who he's supposed to be in the community and all this other stuff. You're not looking at, does he get up and go to work when he has to go? How does he spend his money? Is he willing to work extra time? Because you always gonna need some money. So, man, a person... You know, they want to work part-time or they only want to work 40 hours. They work 2 weeks and they got to take a day off and work another 3 weeks. They got to take another 2 days off. Those are all signs that that's a problem. Because if a guy won't work, he's a step above a child molester. So,
oh, wow.
You got to take a look at that. Yeah. When you think of all the little things out here, if a guy don't work, he's a step above a child molester. So you got to look at it for what it is. And then when the guy don't do what he's supposed to do, then people, oh, well, damn, you know, woman carried a load for a month. Now she talking shit. Okay, well, what signs there before all this happened? You know, okay, he don't have nothing saved. Why? Okay, he working. He was working. If something happened, okay, cool. But why is it that he doesn't have a plan or it doesn't have anything safe? We don't look at all that. You know, people drive these big cars and Escalades and all that, okay. Well, if he cannot afford it, you know that already. So if something goes wrong, then you want to blame him and arguing in the house and everything else. Well, you know, the man got $800 car note is a problem. And ain't making but $4,000 a month. That's a problem. You see what I'm saying? But people don't look at it like that. So it's a bad problem. I mean, if a guy don't want to work, he's a bad problem with me. You know, I mean, okay. Some people accept that. But like I say, child molester, he's a step above that.
Ray said, if you don't work, then you're one step above a child molester. Boy, I ain't heard it all now. As a man who thinks very poorly of someone who doesn't work, for sure. All right. So let me go to you, Buck. And Buck, this is probably where I'm going to lose some people. There are a lot of guys who have kids, but they're not mature. Okay. They don't teach. I'm getting a little feedback. I'm going to mute you for a second. They don't teach their kids. They don't spend quality time with their kids. They're not good role models for their kids. Should a guy's life fundamentally change the moment he becomes a dad?
You have to change. Simply because you're a role model for that child. And there's monkey see, monkey do. I always tried to raise my boys equally, even though I have two sons that are stepsons. I've always tried to raise them equally and teach them the right, you know, the right path, all three of them. And as a result of that, I think they all turned out to be outstanding guys. And, you know, it starts with me. It starts with everything that I do, because it will influence them down the road. I wanted them to, you know, be able to treat their woman with respect, treat them, you know, treat themselves with respect, and, you know, treat their family with respect. And you have to be the man of the house. You have to be able to do the things that you're required to do to make sure the house is successful. And yes, it takes both parties, but really the man needs to be the leader. And you know, that's the way I always try to present myself as a father, trying to make sure that these guys come up right, you know, so therefore when they have their own families, you know, at least they have something that can look back to them going like, hey, he did this, he did this, he did this. And, you know, they become outstanding men because it's important. But, you know, a lot of that's kind of fallen by the wayside. But even if you're not, even if your situation is where you're not with the significant other, maybe y'all divorced or whatnot, it's still your responsibility to make sure that you still have kids to raise. And you have to make sure that you do everything that is required to make sure those kids, whether they be men or women, you got to make sure that they grow up to be good people. And you have to take part in that. If you don't take part in that, that's on you. But you got to take part in that so therefore they can come up right. And, you know, they don't redo the same mistakes that maybe you made.
Okay. All right. So, Slick, let me ask you. I mean, you're not a parent yet, but, you know, the day you become a dad, does your life change? What do you think changes in your life, or do you keep doing what you're doing?
Oh, things are going to change fundamentally from top to bottom, probably damn near. And the way my dad raised me, I'm probably going to repeat the same thing because I can't really think of one thing my dad told me that turned out bad. Everything that my dad everything my dad taught me is something that I can use in my everyday life. Even though I don't live here with him, sometimes I'll call him. Like, I remember a year ago, I called to put, I was like, hey, I need, dad, can you teach me how to put the windshield wiper fluid on my car? I popped open the hood, and he told me, and I did it. As simple as that. And this went back to what I said before. A lot of this comes from, you know, this, Christy was saying before. She said that her son-in-law didn't know how to build stuff yet. I'm not saying that I don't know what his situation, but it's situations like that, because there's no dads around that change their lives to benefit their kids, that could teach them how to, you know, change the oil in the car, build things, you know, repair things. You know, my dad, I can't tell you how many stories my dad has of my brother breaking stuff and him having to fix it. However, he also taught my brother how to fix it. Man, let me tell you, he'd steal the show. But but yeah, my brother probably cost upwards of like $10,000 in repairs of stuff he broke. But he also taught my brother how to repair those things. Now he's a dad, and now he's fixing the stuff that his kids are breaking. So it's kind of karma, because he has three kids, and his biological daughter is wilding out. She's like he used to be, and he also has two stepkids. So it's actually kind of the opposite of what happened with my dad. He came in with two stepkids and got a biological of his own. So yes, that you need to change your life as a man, because you need to be an example for those kids, whether they're boy kids or girl kids. They need structure, and that's something that's lacking in today's kids, especially my generation. I see it everywhere. I got structure. Everyone else is just like, man, like they're wilding out. I don't know what the hell they're doing. They're just throwing. It's crazy. I feel like I'm spectating on like a game show. It's like who can top the next messed up act?
Yeah,
try not to drag on. Go ahead.
I feel you on that. But a couple more questions and we'll get ready to wrap things up. And this is just for anyone in general. Do the type of hobbies that a man has matter? Like if he likes to game on the Xbox or the PlayStation, or if he watches anime on TV or something of that nature, does the type of hobby he has matter as far as his maturity level?
I'll go. I don't think it does. I think what shows the maturity is the ability to understand that it is a hobby. And then when there's responsibilities and obligations that need to happen within the household, within the family structure, within your normal life, work, things like that, if you can understand that those things need to come before your hobbies and those things need to be situated, then I don't care what the hell your hobby is. I think I got like 50 different hobbies and people just got to deal with it. But I make sure I go to work, pay my bills, things are taken care of, the kids are taken care of, the grandkids are taken care of. So I think as long as you set boundaries with it and don't let it consume and take over the necessity of life, have fun. I don't care if you like anime. Just don't bother me with it.
All right. Anyone disagree?
I agree with her. Play your video games. And when it's time to take care of business, it's time to take care of business. Everybody has to decompress. Everybody needs to do something that they enjoy in life. But you have to not play video games 24/7, right? Instead of going out looking for a job or anime. I don't even know what anime is. You can't, do that instead of taking care of your kids or changing the diaper or, you know, the things that a grown person is supposed to do, period, with a T.
All right. There's no T in period.
But yes, there is. All right.
So lastly, and probably the most important one, accountability. Being able to say, you know what? I was wrong. Okay. Why is that so hard for some guys to admit fault? And Ray, I'll ask you on this one. Why do some guys struggle admitting that they were wrong?
I think it might be an ego thing or a pride thing. But I think if you're wrong, the best thing to do in order to not cause a bigger argument than you may have got out of is to admit when you was wrong and explain where you went wrong. So the other person knows that you understand where you were wrong and how you can correct yourself. See, it's one thing to say, all right, you got that, you right, but you're not understanding where you went wrong. If you say, well, okay, you understand what you were saying now, it makes more sense to me that we do it this way. Or, you know, I would like to try it this way because I trust you, so therefore I'm going to trust your idea or whatever the situation is, you can make things better. Some people just want to get you off their back and get you to shut up and all that. You're not getting nowhere like that. And I think that a lot of people don't want to be told that they're wrong, girls and guys. You know, if you're wrong, there's nothing wrong with somebody giving you constructive criticism. And if a person got common sense, generally they'll listen to what you got to say and then try to correct themselves. But if you're talking correct all the time and a person can never see where you coming from, ain't no sense in you beating that dead horse, because you know it ain't gonna get no better. But if you get a person, okay, I got a point, you got a point, you explain your point, I explain mine, and if you make sense, I should be able to come around and understand what you're saying. But if I can't understand what you're saying, then what use is it? You can't retrain the fool. You can't do it. So I think it's very important to have accountability. And, you know, I stand on something when I'm right, but I also willing to take accountability when I'm wrong.
Okay. Anybody else want to add to that as far as accountability and how that's a sign of maturity in men, being able to say I'm wrong or I'm sorry, you know, or apologize?
So I'll jump in here.
I'm going to be real quick. You ever had somebody apologize and be like, okay, damn, I'm sorry. Right? That's not an apology. You could have kept
that's
that.
That's what I was going to say. You could have kept
that. So, and men, because it is a lot of times harder for them to admit it, you get that response from most men. I'll say that. See, I was real quick.
So yeah, I was piggybacking off of what Robin said. That's exactly what I was gonna say. I appreciate when somebody, you know, takes accountability for when they're wrong. but I hate it when I get the, all right, I'm wrong, whatever. All right, because they're just dismissing you because they want to just pass whatever the issue is and not take acknowledgement. So then that's when Miss Chrissy goes, well, what were you wrong for? You know, elaborate. Let me know so I know that you are apologizing for the right thing. I take accountability for all my actions. You know, I'm a registered nurse. So if I give a wrong medication, give a wrong treatment, I have to take accountability and I have to be the one to raise my hand. You're not even going to have to pick it out for me. I'm going to go bring it to you. So because of that ethics that I have within my everyday life for work, that's kind of how I am in my life. The only thing I hate is when I do acknowledge, when I go back to my husband and I go, you know what? I apologize. I was wrong. I shouldn't have spoken to you that way. You know, sometimes when I get angry, I don't think about it. I don't take a minute. And then he'll throw that back in my face the next time we argue and I wasn't even wrong. So that, you know, so, I mean, there's boundaries and there's lines there, but any male or female taking accountability for your actions shows just a whole nother level of maturity.
Okay. And Erica chimed in from Louisiana and says, some men are too busy blaming women. That's why they can't be accountable. All right. Anybody agree, disagree with that? Okay. Nodding heads.
I hear you, girl.
All right. So let's see. Next week, I'm discussing what exactly is catfishing these days. I mean, where do you draw the line on what's considered putting your best foot forward and what's just flat out living a lie? So we'll discuss that next Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. Central. On the Talk to Q Radio show, no experts, just opinions. All right, so we're going to go ahead and wrap things up and have our final thoughts and shut this thing down. And let's see, Robin, I'll start with you on final thoughts.
Final thoughts on when it takes a man to mature. I don't know, 80. I don't know if there is really a timeline. It just depends upon a certain man, how, you know, how people are raised really makes a difference. If people, I heard this the other day, people are raised in love, they operate one way. And if they're raised in trauma, they operate another. So you really have to learn how that person was raised in order to deal with them accordingly.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, ma'am. I appreciate you coming on to the show.
Thanks for having me. And I think I'm on next week for the catfish show, right?
You can be if you're not, but I'll double check. I never remember who my guests are week to week, to be honest with you. So Lamp chimed in from, I believe Lamp's in D.C. He said, nothing's more frustrating when women ask men why we're apologizing. Okay. Interesting. All right. Final thoughts. Buck, I will go to you, sir. Let me get your final thoughts on the evening.
Been a great show. Glad to have everybody on. Robin, Slick, and all these, you know, it's pretty cool to have my son on here. That's pretty sharp. And it really kind of shows that, you know, even in adversity, you know, you still can be a part of your kid's life and raise them properly. But the good thing about it is, I mean, first of all, the reason why we have a lot of the problems in society today the way it is because we don't have the type of structure we need. That structure starts at home. It takes more than just a mother and father to get things right with your kids. It takes a village. We no longer have those villages. The reason why we don't have those villages is simply because the mother and father lives 2,000 miles away from their grandparents or their aunts or their uncles. And they don't have the type of situation that I had when I was growing up. My dad was in the service. I had my uncles. I had my grandfather. I had my grandmother. I had my great aunts. I had aunts. It takes a village to raise your kids. And you get a little bit of that from each one of them in order to be able to show the love and the compassion you're supposed to have as you become an adult. We don't have that. So what we have to do is we got another thing, too many youngsters raising youngsters. So we got to kind of go back to the drawing board a little bit. Things have changed a lot. So we have to make sure that we even if we have not been shown those things, we need to make sure we be able to show these things, and make sure that everybody that is involved needs to stay involved, regardless of the way you may feel about the other person. You have to make sure you got to stay involved because it's about the kids. And in order for them to grow up and be strong individuals, you got to put your feelings aside and do the right thing. So, but all that being said, it was a great show. That subject that desperately needed to be talked about. So just glad to have everybody on, and everybody enjoy the rest of your week.
All right. Good stuff, man. I appreciate it. And Erica said, yep, it takes a village. We have to create our own villages of like-minded people. All right, Slick, I'm going to let you follow him and give your final thoughts on the evening, man.
I think that to go off what Robin said, there is no set for a level, like, you know, age for maturity. However, I think you can jumpstart that by being raised by mature people. If you're raised by mature people, you're probably going to mature pretty fast. I know I've been kind of dragging my generation through the mud like this whole time, but I think the way I was raised had a big impact on why I'm kind of like I'm to the side and I'm working. You know, I actually go, you know, I work, I have a job. You know, I go to work at 2 a.m. I get off at 1. I bust ass. I have I work hard, and I communicate with the guy that I work with, and I'm courteous. You know, I'm not an asshole. So I just want to get things done, but also treat people with respect, and I'm honest with people, and I'm not like trying to go behind people's back and do all this weird stuff. So I feel like it's the way you're raised has a really big impact on your maturity level. That and just life experience in general. If you want to change things, change your parents.
I appreciate it, man. Hey, keep doing what you're doing, man. I'm proud of you. And Buck has given you the tools to be unstoppable. So, man, keep doing what you're doing. All right. And Ray, have I gone to you, bro? Let me get your final thoughts.
Yeah, this was a great show, great topic. You know, good opinions. I mean, you know, it's all about just being responsible, learning and maturing as a man. Part of being mature is being accountable. You know, you make a mistake, you can't be afraid to say I'm sorry. And kind of almost the ladies touched on what I was saying prior, but at the same time the ladies have to realize that when they pointing the fingers, they gotta look at some fingers pointing back at them also. You know, women can be hard of hearing as well. I ain't saying they is hard of hearing as men, but they can be as well. So, you know, you have to be accountable for your wrongdoing. Someone trying to talk to you, or they trying to counsel you, or they trying to educate you on something, be willing to listen. And then you guys can discuss it, and you can see what side is right and what side is wrong. It doesn't always have to be a pissing contest. You know, if your husband is right or your boyfriend is right, let him know he's right. You can't be wrong on everything, of course. Now, you gave him the last three. You know, you were right. Honey, we're going to do it this way. And now you come around and you right. You don't want to admit you right. And that's the problem. So I think it's communication. I think it's education. I think you have to respect one another. Because anytime you disagree and you got to curse each other out and call each other out of your names, it's got to go all kind of ways. And, you know, you really don't have respect for each other anyway. But it was a great show, great topic. Great to see Slick on. You know, Buck did a great job raising his son. And, you know, it was good to see him on. And on to the next show, y'all. Have a good night.
All right. I appreciate it, man. And Ray, you got to wait a month before you can go into the women now. I think it's October 26th. I think I have the show on When Women Mature. So you're going to have to hold some of those thoughts until then.
Oh, man. That's going to be a five-part special, huh?
Right.
Here we go. Here you go.
How come you're not on camera? That's what I want to know.
The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Yeah, because your
he's at the Pentagon, y'all. He's at the Pentagon, and he doesn't want to see that. Y'all don't want to see that in the background. So,
all right, so, Chrissy, shut it down for me. So glad to see you back. Shut it down for me.
Well, thank you so much for thinking of me. It's been a minute since I've been on camera. If you could tell, I ain't even got no makeup, nothing. I was just like, I'm here. So my final thoughts on when do men mature? I think there is no age, right? We can't determine by age. It's going to be by character. It's going to be by integrity. It's going to be by accountability. I have a 14-year-old who acts probably more mature than some 50-year-olds that I know. I can sit down and have an analytical, philosophical conversation with him. He has no issues expressing his thoughts, his feelings. He doesn't have a problem receiving information, taking it, and then utilizing it. He doesn't have a problem, you know, making changes. None of that. He sees the world with a pure heart. Like, I mean, that to me is maturity. Like, I mean, he even sat there one day and told me that he doesn't want his wife to bear any of his children because he can't imagine the pain that she's going to have to go through, that there's a lot of children in the world that need to be adopted, and that's what he'll do.
Wow.
Yes. So, I mean, so again, I don't think age can define the maturity. I think all the other characteristics of a man, of a person, of a human being, period, determines the maturity. And you know what? Every now and then, it's all right to be a little childlike, you know, as long as you don't just live there forever. So on that note, thank you, everybody. It was a great show. Enjoyed being back on air. I don't know, Q, what you're starting here again. I may have to put my signs back up. I don't know.
Do it. Do it now. All right. Well, look, I appreciate all of you. It's been a pleasure having you on. And, you know, to me, maturity has nothing to do with age. Like, you know, it's been said, it's about values. Our parents usually have a huge influence on the values we possess. And we've seen an example of that tonight. You know, some children are able to overcome lackluster parents, but it's not common to see that. And independence goes a long way towards maturity as well. You're not mature if you depend on someone else. I mean, that's literally the definition of a child, right? I mean, if you have to move in with a woman to prevent being homeless, if you have to constantly borrow money from people, you got to catch rides to get place to place, then you can't claim maturity. I mean, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. You may just be down on your luck, but you can't claim maturity. Also, a mature man doesn't take time for granted. He understands that there are phases of life, and each life-changing event brings about a new phase. When you finish high school, then there are some new responsibilities that come after that. When you get a career job, when you engage in sexual activity, when you become a husband, become a dad. If any of these things occur and you're still living the exact life you were prior to that happening, then you're doing it wrong, brother. I mean, I'll be the first to stand tall and tell you that. All right. I appreciate all of you joining tonight's show. Be sure to catch us next week. You can follow me on all things social media at TalkToQ. Go to the website, TalkToQ.com. We will see you next week when we're discussing what exactly is catfishing these days. All right. Y'all have a good one. All right.
Thanks, Q.